North Hampton Kollel, Shiur given on Sunday, 22nd of May 2011, Yud Ches Iyar, Tavshin, Ayin Aleph, and of course it's Lag BaOmer today. And we're on Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches, Shiur given by Gershon Heppner. We're just about to begin the Pesukim. Last week we went through the whole chapter and we also did an introduction to it. What I've given you there are the Tanakhs open at Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, because we're going to be doing a little bit of comparison between our chapter Tehillim and also the parallel chapter in Shmuel Beis Kaf Beis. So you can just leave it open. We will get to here's another one. Here. There we are. We will get to do those comparisons a bit later. Once we've got into the Pasuk a bit better. One last part of the introduction. Last week we did the whole chapter with the English, and then we went and we gave a little bit of an introduction about the 10 Shiros in Tanakh and so on. One tiny thing of introduction which I saw this week is brought in the Abarbanel. I think we'll probably end up using the Abarbanel quite a lot. The Abarbanel is not on Tehillim, but it's on Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. And there the Abarbanel says in his introduction to this chapter that he's going to attempt to explain every difference that exists between our chapter Tehillim Yud Ches and Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis. Well, there are a number of differences, and he says he's going to attempt to explain every single one of them. How many are there? Any guesses? He says at the beginning a number as to how many differences he found. Any guesses how many? Go on, have a go. Norman? Pick a number. 74. He says there are 74, which is far more than I imagined. 74 differences between these two chapters. Okay, he says that. Yeah, but, I mean, it's a very long chapter. And we're talking about a word here, a word there, a letter here, a letter there, and on at least one occasion, one entire posuk is different. Okay, there you are. Okay, so let's start with the actual posukim. Lam Natzech Le'Eved Hashem, a song for the conductor, Le'Eved Hashem, written by the servant of God, Le'David, written by David, Asher Diben Hashem, that he spoke to God, the words of David, that he spoke to God, Estivri Asher, as is the words of this song. When did he do it? Be'yom Hitzil Hashem Oso, on the day when God saved him, Mekaf Kol Oyevav, from the palm of all his enemies, Umiyad Shaul, and from the hand of Shaul. So there's the introductory pasuk. This is the song that David spoke to God on the day that Hashem saved him from his enemies and from Shaul.
Kol Oyevav is inclusive.
This is the kasha. Rashi brings the kasha. Why is Shaul excluded, or like made into a category of his own from the rest of the enemies? Right? Mekaf Kol Oyevav. Umiyad Shaul. Why does Shaul deserve his own mention? And there's going to be a lot on that. Okay, let's start by discussing the word Lam Natzeach. It's a word which we had before. We had it earlier at the beginning of Perek Dalet, and I've certainly went back to my recordings of Perek Dalet in order to remind myself, because I've completely forgotten what this word Lam Natzeach means. And there, Rashi, on the beginning of Perek Dalet, discusses this word Lam Natzeach, and he says it's an expression of being mischazik ba'avodah, of strengthening oneself in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes a pasuk, and the pasuk is in Ezra, chapter Gimel, pasuk Ches, where he speaks about how the return to Yerushalayim and the return to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the pasuk there says, "V'ashan Hashem is levam el beis alekim Yerushalayim." And the second year after they returned back to Yerushalayim, b'chodesh Hashemi, in the second month, which is our month, Iyar, hechelu zerubbabel ben Shealtiel. The Yeshua ben Yotzadok, Oshar Hachem, HaKohanim, HaLevim, the various leaders of Klal Yisrael, Zerubbabel, and Shealtiel, and the Kohanim, and the Levim, the Chol HaBoim Mehashvi, and all those who returned back from captivity in Bavel, Yerushalayim, who came to Yerushalayim, what did they do? They began their service in the Beis HaMikdash, they Amidu Es HaLevim, and they established the Levim, Meben Esim Shana V'Mala, from the age of 20 onwards, and here's the key word, L'Natzeach, Al Melechas Beis Hashem, which really means to succeed in the work of the house of God, i.e. to succeed and to be strong and to strengthen oneself in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi there, at the beginning of Tehillim Perek Dalet, which also begins with the word Lanasech, quotes this pasuk in Ezra chapter Gimel pasuk Ches, which says Lanasech Amalachusvias Hashem, to be strong, to strengthen oneself in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the word Lanasech means. Lanasech, something strong. David is trying to strengthen us in the service of God.
But they haven't said the same letters as Matzliach.
No, because Matzliach has no nun. You nearly got me there. Yeah. No, Lamanatzeach. Lamanatzeach also means to succeed in a struggle. Lamanatzeach. So it's a few, we'll come on to that. To be a victor, thank you. Yes, to be a victor. Oh.
So is it a relationship? The one is one is being really successful, and the other.
Yes, I suppose so. But the nun gets a bit in the way. If you, yeah, we've got one extra letter there. Lamanatzeach. Yeah. Okay. The Melbourne. Well, on our chapter, I did see the Melbourne, but I can't remember it. Let's have a quick look. Hang on. Good. Okay. The one other thing that Rashi says back in Perek Dalet, that this perek was given to the Levim to sing in the Beis Hamikdash, like all of Tehillim was given over to the Levim, I believe, to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. So Shah Perek Nitan the Levim Loshir Bamikdash, the perek was given over, and that word Lamnatzeach really is connected to a musical term. And that's brought by the Ibn Ezra there at the beginning of Perek Dalet, that there is a person called the Menatzeach, and who is he? He's the musical director of the Levim's choir. Okay, so he's a conductor, musical director. Musician, conductor. That's it. That's another shout. Yeah. Yeah, so next time you speak to Mark Temelis, you tell him he's the Menatzeach. The Ibn Ezra says what you just said, Jonathan, that the Ibn Ezra gives, Ibn Ezra gives two pshat him. The pshat about the word the Menatzeach being the conductor is his second pshat. The first pshat, he says, comes from the word Netzach, which means eternal. Because the chapter is given over for all eternity for Klal Yisrael to learn and to say and govern this chapter, so it's given over for all eternity. These are the two pshat given by the Ibn Ezra, and the most amazing pshat is given by the Mitzvah Tzion back in Perek Dalet. He says that again, it's a musical term, and he says something which Norman, you and I will not really like. In fact, you won't like this either, Jonathan. He says when you have a choir, the different voices in the choir jostle for supremacy. Yeah? And the word Menatzeach, I want the bass notes to be heard, and then the guy singing the melody says, no, the melody is more important than the bass. Says, no, the harmony, bass harmony establishes the chord, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah? So everybody's jostling for supremacy. So the Metodician says that the word Menatzeach is to be victorious, which is what you said, Norman. To be victorious, because each part of the choir is trying to compete almost with another part of the choir, that they want their voices to be heard. That's actually a very sad reflection of a choir, because a good choir will not do that. A good choir will blend brilliantly together, and then they will, yeah. Anyway, that's how the Metodician defines the word Menatzeach. Okay.
The conductor, musician reigns supreme.
He does. But the word Menatzeach means that's one pshat. The Menatzeach is the conductor, and the other pshat is the Menatzeach is what everybody's doing, trying to make their voice heard over everyone else's. Okay, right. Back to Rashi on our pasuk. Lamnatzeach le'eved Hashem. This is the song for the conductor, shall we say, le'eved Hashem, written by the servant of God. By whom? Le'David. By David. Asher divin Hashem es divrei Hashem. As this, you spake to God all the words of this shira, of this song. Be'yom, on the day hitzil Hashem es, on the day that God saved him, A, mekaf kol ovav, from the palm of all his enemies, and B, umiyad shol, from the hands of shol. So the question is, when did David actually compose this chapter? The pasuk is very unclear, because the pasuk says, on the day that Hashem saved him from all his enemies. Well, Hashem did not save David from all his enemies on one day. Nor did he save Shaul Nor did he save David from Shaul on the one day that he was saved from all his other enemies. So what's this idea of Biyom? Oh, was it the final one? We'll come on to that. We'll come to that. Yes, I think that, if I remember correctly, without checking my notes, I think that's brought by the Al-Sheikh. The Rashi says, this chapter is composed at the end of David's lifetime, when he was very elderly, and it was composed by Yom after all the days of having been saved from a whole bunch of enemies and from Shaul, and that is when he composed it. It seems, though, if I've understood Rashi correctly, Rashi is saying that the chapter in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, was composed earlier in David's life. And our chapter, and it was composed again at the time when he was saved from his enemies, whereas our chapter, it was almost like it's a rewrite of the first one, with these various changes that we'll be learning about as we come to them. Okay? So, Rashi seems to say that our chapter in Tehillim was composed after David was already an elderly man. And it's a variation on a theme from the first chapter, i.e. Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. Rashi now asks this question, but we'll come back to this from the other Mefarshim as to when the chapter was written. We'll come back to it in the eyes of a few other Mefarshim. Then Rashi says, ask your kasha, Norman, why is Shaul singled out? Mikaf kol oyvav, from the palm of all his enemies, umiyad Shaul, from the hand of Shaul. Well, why is Shaul singled out? So he explains, Rashi explains, that of all of David's enemies, Shaul was the toughest one to beat. Why? Because Shaul pursued David more than any of the other enemies. The other enemies seem to have had their occasional skirmishes, right? Or battles.
And he couldn't kill him.
We'll come back to that. We'll come on to that from other Mephrashim, yes. But that's not, Rashi doesn't actually say that here. Rashi doesn't bring it, others do, but Rashi doesn't. So just learning now, according to Rashi, says that Shaul chased David more than others. In other words, with Shaul, it was a constant, ongoing struggle, as far as Shaul was concerned. Other enemies, well, Amalek attacked on one occasion, maybe on one occasion, the Pelishtim attacked on a few occasions, and Ammon and Moab, they all had their various moments of battles. But with Shaul, it was constant. Shaul never really, almost never gave up from chasing David. And Rashi quotes, Shaul,
yeah.
He did it the Shem Shamayim. He, very important point. Moreg the Malchus. Shaul viewed David as a person who al pi halacha is chayav misa.
Yeah, but the Notli had told him that he was finished.
Yes. But he didn't accept it. Don't forget, Shaul suffered from depressions. Shaul suffered from depressions, and even though Shmuel told Shaul that he was no longer king and that David was anointed as the new king, Shaul did not accept it. Mentally he couldn't accept it, and therefore he viewed David as 100% married by Malchus. He's a man who's chayav misa, and Shaul was determined to kill David despite the fact he was his own son-in-law. He was determined to kill Shaul. Shaul was determined to kill David. L'shem Shamayim, 100% L'shem Shamayim. And it took years and years and years until David managed to pacify Shaul. Yeah. And of course, the problem was, as you said, Uncle Louis, that David couldn't fight back. David could not kill Shaul in self-defense. Yeah. But we'll come on to that still.
How many years was this going on?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how many years it was.
How many years of the years of Shaul's reign?
Shaul was only king for 2 years, and David was king for 40 years.
No.
Because the time that Shaul wanted to kill David was after those 2 years. Shaul was king for 2 years.
No, he was killed in battle with the Philistine.
No. But that's not. He stopped being king when Shmuel. What's the word? Not deposed. Shaul demoted him. Yeah. When Shmuel demoted Shaul, that is when he stopped being king. And that was after a 2-year period of being king. But then he continued living for a long time. I don't know how long.
He continued in his opinion to be a king for a long time. We don't know how long he ruled as, in his opinion, as a king.
I don't know. I'm sure others do. Yes, but he was in truth king for 2 years. Then Shmuel demoted him and anointed David in his place. But and it was at that point that Shaul began chasing David to kill him.
I don't know how long that was.
I don't know how long it is. I should know, and I don't. The Rashi quotes a pasuk from the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, where
because when Shmuel died and Shaul called him up, it was even before he was killed. So when did Shmuel die?
Shmuel died at the age of 52, but exactly at what point that was in Shaul's reign, I don't know, or Shaul's life, I don't know. I was sorry, I missed that. We had a school open evening, I couldn't come, but we missed out there. Okay, right. Now, Rashi quotes a pasuk from Yehoshua, chapter base pasuk Aleph, where Yehoshua sent out the two spies, Kolev and Pinchas, to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, Yehoshua said to these two spies, Lechu go, re'u es ha'aretz, see the land, the es Yericho, and Yericho. And of course the question is, it's a similar question, why single out Yericho more than any other? And it's the same question as we have here, why single out Shaul more than any other enemy? Why single out Yericho over and above the rest of the land? So Rashi explains that Yericho was very close, well, it was impregnable because of these enormous walls. Why? Why did they make it impregnable? Because it was close to the water. Yericho is very close to the Yaridim. They crossed over the Yaridim almost at the point where Yericho was. So, because Yericho was was technically a vulnerable city being close to the Yaridim, therefore, the people of Yericho fortified the city tremendously. Therefore, Yericho ended up becoming, as you say, impregnable. Being impregnable, and therefore, because Yericho is so hard to capture, therefore it's singled out. Likewise here, Shaul was so hard to defeat, and therefore he singled out over and above the other enemies. And that's how Rashi explains it. Okay? Now, let's move on. The Targum, oh yes, very interesting piece of Targum on our pasuk. The Targum says, and I've written down, as being significant, three different small sections of Targum here. He says, L'shabacha, I'll read down the whole pasuk. L'shabacha, a praise, that's how the Targum translates the word L'amnatzeach, L'shabacha, a praise. Al Nisayah, for the miracles, the Isrechishu, that occurred, L'avdod Hashem L'David, that occurred to God's servant, namely David. So he translates L'eved Hashem as, I'm thanking Hashem for the Nisim. I suppose I'm not surprised to see that. The Shabbach B'Nevuah, that he, David, prophesied, he praised in a degree of prophecy, Kodam Hashem before God, Yas Piskami Shir Sahada, the words of this song, Al Kol Yomaya, for each day, the Shezve Hashem Min Yada, the Chol Bale Devavoi, for each day that God rescued him from the hands of all his enemies. So, he translates B'Yom, the Yom Hitzal Hashem, not as on the one single day when God saved him, but on each and every day that Hashem saved him from his enemies. In other words, this song was not just a one-off song that was written on one occasion when God saved him from all his enemies. It's very difficult to say that, because he didn't save him from all his enemies on one particular day. So the Targum translates it as Al Kol Yomayah, on each and every day, the Shezvei Hashem, that God rescued him, Min Yadod, the Chol Ba'alei Devavoi, when God saved him from all his enemies. And then he finishes off, translating, Umiyad Shaul, and God saved him from the hand of Shaul, he just adds in one word, Umecharba to Shaul, and from the sword of Shaul. Okay, it's just interesting, it's not a literal translation from the hand of Shaul, it just adds in Umecharba, from the sword of Shaul. Shaul made no pretense of it, he was trying to kill David, no less. So, yeah, that's how the Targum learns it. Now, let's come back to the question of when was this Shira actually written. So the Mitzvah David gives us the two most obvious possibilities. And he says, either it was written when David was an old man and all his tzoros were over from all his enemies, and he's no longer fighting any more battles, all his enemies are defeated, and therefore he now wrote this Shira. Or he wrote it as an ongoing, or he said it every single time he was saved. So we've really seen that Rashi says it was written at the time of his old age. We've seen that the Targum says he said it every single time that he was rescued. And the Masilas Dovid echoes this. These are the two main possibilities. Either every single time he fought and won a war, or at the end of his lifetime. That's how he learns it. And the Ibn Ezra also speaks about this, and he says that it was written on one particular occasion, and I mentioned this last week actually, it was written on the day that David completed fighting one particular set of enemies, and it's recorded in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. In other words, it's just prior to this Shira mentioned in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. So at the end of Kaf Aleph, it says he had against three particular giants of the Plishtim. And if I remember correctly, those giants were said to be brothers of Goliath. Have I got that right? Yeah, I think so. They were brothers of Goliath. And having fought all of them and defeated all of them, then David's soldiers turned to David and said, enough. You've fought enough. Don't go out to battle anymore, please. We will fight your wars for you. You shouldn't go out to battle anymore. And it was on that occasion, now that David is no longer personally going to be involved in any battles, then he wrote this Shira. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns it. Now, the Ibn Ezra goes on to say that David refers to himself here as Le'evet Hashem. He says, here's a Lam Natsiach, a praise or a song, or a song for the conductor, composed by Le'evet Hashem, composed by myself. Who am I? I am Evet Hashem, I'm a servant of God. And then he adds in his name, L'David, composed by David. Says the Ibn Ezra, why did David here refer to himself as the Evet Hashem? And he refers to later on in our chapter, where in Psukim Kaf Aleph and Kaf Beis, David goes on to say, Yigmaleni Hashem Ketzivki, Hashem shall please repay me for my righteousness, Kaver Yodai, according to the purity of my hands, excuse me, Yoshivli, he should pay me back in kind. Hashem should reward me because I have pure hands. Hashem should reward me because I'm a tzaddik. And he goes on in Pasuk Kafes to say, Ki shamayti da'ach Hashem, because I've guarded the ways of God. V'lo rashati mi'elokoy, and I've never been a rasha to God. And therefore, I am a true Evet Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra says, why does David say Le'evet Hashem? Why does David refer to himself as Evet Hashem? Because within this chapter, he's asking Hashem to recognize the fact that he's an Evet of Hashem, and therefore, please deal with me kindly, deal with me well, please look after me, because I'm the Evet Hashem, and I've never done anything bad, and I'm not a Rasha, and I guard Hashem's mitzvahs. Therefore, I am an Evet Hashem, therefore, please pay me back in kind.
Doesn't the word David refer to the next part? Why? Because if he's referring to himself as Evet Hashem, would have been L'David Evet Hashem. But as you can see, it says L'David Hashem Deber Elav Hashem Esdivrei Hashira Azos.
Are you asking about the Lamed at the beginning of L'David?
I'm asking about L'David, the actual word. I don't think, from what I can see, that it belongs to the first part. I don't think it belongs to Evet Hashem. I think it's...
If L'David Asher did Asher, for David who spoke.
Yeah. That's what I
why,
think.
Why
That's
can't
what I think? Because if it would belong to the first part, it would have said L'David Evet Hashem. Wouldn't say Evet Hashem L'David.
Yeah, it could have grouped them together. Le David, Evet Hashem.
Yeah.
For David, or by David, the son of God. Yeah, you're right. So the phrase Le Evet Hashem and Le David almost breaks it up into sub phrases. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Now maybe we can answer that, and I'll come to it right at the end. The significance of those lamads. The significance of those lamas, Le Evet Hashem and Le David. There is particular significance in those letters lamas. But do you mind if I can wait? I've actually got it down as the very last thing to say on this pasuk.
So,
yeah. I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure.
Be, should have been the David Eved Hashem if it was attached to the beginning part.
I don't know. Could be. Yep. Absolutely. That's what we all do. We only guess. Yes. Let me say a piece of Abar Benel on this. Again, on when was this chapter actually written? So the Abar Benel, and it's, of course, the Abar Benel from Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, says as follows. David composed Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, early in his life, and said it, recited it, every single time he won a battle. That's for the chapter in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis. Every time he won a battle, he says, and therefore, it became Shagura Basiv, it became very fluent in his mouth. He probably knew it by heart. Because every time he fought and won a battle, and every time he had a struggle against Shaul and came out of it unscathed, he recited this chapter. It was later on that David then changed the chapter, rewrote it, and changed it for future use of the whole of Klal Yisrael. So it should serve as a tefillah for all of Klal Yisrael for all time. And on that basis, there are a number of changes that the original chapter in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, is more personal. Personal to David. And then it was made more generic for future use for all Klal Yisrael for all time, and many of the personal references were changed slightly. That's how the Abar Benel learns. That's where he writes, that there are 74 different, he's found 74 variations, and therefore he's going to speak about them all. And he points out an interesting thing. He says, if David said this chapter every time he won a battle, well, why do the other chapters that do exist in Tehillim, which were recited at particular moments in David's life, in times of stress, why are they not mentioned in Shmuel Beis? Why is that? And he points out, why are they not mentioned? He mentions a few. He mentions in particular chapter Gimel, which we've learned already, which is Mizmor LeDavid Bevorcho Mipnei Avshalom, which is a chapter he composed when he was on the run from Avshalom. That's written in Tehillim, but it's not written elsewhere in Tanakh, not in Shmuel Aleph, not in Shmuel Beis. Chapter Mundalad, when the people from a town called Ziph reported David's whereabouts to Shaul. And there's a chapter there, Bevo HaZifim, when the Zifim came, and the people from Ziph came, and they revealed my whereabouts to Shaul. That doesn't get it. That's mentioned in Tehillim, but it doesn't get a mention elsewhere. Likewise, chapter Nun Aleph, when Nathan Hanavi came to David to tell him off for having taken Bathsheba, of having engineered the death of Uriah Hitti. So again, this chapter Nun Aleph is written Bevo Elov Nathan Hanavi, when Nathan the Navi came to him to give him that Musa Joshua. So those exist in Tehillim only. They don't exist elsewhere. Why is that? And I don't think I fully understand it. I don't fully understand his answer. But he just points out that there are chapters in Tehillim which were written for specific occasions. Our chapter was originally written for specific occasions, i.e. for his various battles. Later on, it was reworded, made more generic, more general, to apply for all of Klal Yisrael for all eternity. And that's our chapter here, chapter Yudches. That's how the Abba Benel explains it. Good. Okay. The Medrash HaChatov. Medrash HaChatov on our Pasuk says, I've jotted down the actual quote, that David HaMelech turns to Hashem and he says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Asi Salanu Nisim Balayla, you perform miracles for us at night, and you know what? We've recognized you at night. V'amarnu Shira Balayla, and we've reacted by singing songs to you at night. Shanema, he quotes a Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Mem Beis, Pasuk Tes, where the Pasuk says, Uvalayla Shiro Imi, and at night time we sing with me. So he said, you've granted us miraculous events at night, and we've recognized you for that, and we've thanked you at night, we've sung songs to you at night. Asi Solon and Nisim Bayom, you've done miracles for us during the day, and we've sung songs to you in the day. Shenema, quotes our Pasuk, Bayom Hitzil Hashem Oso, on the day that Hashem saved him. So in other words, that David was treated to Nisim both night and day, and he reacted to Hashem to thank him both at night times and also in the daytimes. Medrash HaChatov goes on to say that here David refers to himself as Eved Hashem, I'm the servant of God. And he says, why was that? why, what gives David the right to refer to himself as Eved Hashem? Or maybe putting it another way, it's as though Hashem has called him Eved Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch has granted him the title, "You are my servant." Mm-hmm. Which is a tremendous accolade. Why was that? And the reason is because he did teshuvah. Because David did teshuvah. And the Rav Medrash isn't clear which teshuvah for what. I assume it's teshuvah for the story of Bathsheba. I assume it's that, which we know he did do teshuvah for that. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added for him, and I'll give you the quote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mosif Lo Kavod, God added glory and honor for him, for Kirei Lo Shem Chaviv, and called him a beloved name, called him Eved Hashem. He's not the only person, Kalev as well, absolutely. Is that Shlach Lecha? Shlach Lecha, it's there, yeah. Yeah. No, Havilu. Havilu. Vaychi Yishlachecha Havilu?
Yeah.
Oh, Mishalach, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Mishalach. And then with Aries, but it's etc. Yeah. Mishalach, yeah. Oh, Mishalach, yeah, right, yeah. And, okay. Oh, the Medrash goes on to discuss people who are referred to as Avodim, and we'll come on to that still. But what we have here is that David calls himself Eved Hashem. So the Medrash says that because David did teshuvah, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted him the covered and gave him a shame chodav, a beloved name, and it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu here calling him Eved Hashem. And it quotes another example of the three sons of Korach. Now, three sons of Korach did teshuvah. And we have a chapter in Tehillim, and it's chapter Mem He. Let me get this. Chapter Mem He. Oh boy, where's it going? Yeah. Chapter Mem He, and it's Pasuk Aleph. Lam Natsech al Shoshanim Livnei Korach. A song, there's that word Lam Natsech again. Al Shoshanim. Roses or something like that, a nice name, Livnei Korach, for the sons of Korach. But that's not enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to add on these sons of Korach, who were originally involved in Korach's dispute, later they did teshuvah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a title or an accolade. And that pasuk continues, Maskil Shir Yedidos, a song Yedidos for beloved people. So, because they did teshuvah, therefore they are granted this extra accolade of Yedidos. They are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beloveds. Oh. Then the Medrash HaKatov goes on to say another thing. He says, if a person refers to himself as an Eved, and we'll come on to what you mentioned, Norman, about Kalev. If a person refers to himself as an Eved Hashem, then Hashem responds in kind and also calls him an Eved Hashem. And the Medrash cites four examples. Four examples. We start with Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, he turned, when the Malachim come to see him, the Avram Avinu is in Bereishis chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Gimel, where Avram Avinu says, Vayomar Hashem, im no matzasichem yenecho, if I find favor in your eyes, al nosa Avram me'al avdecho, do not turn away from your servant. In other words, Avram wanted to see to his three guests. He saw these three Arabs arriving, and he wants to see to them, he wants to look after them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come to visit him as Bikuchonim after his Bris Milah, when he was in terrible discomfort. So he turns to Hashem and he says, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't run away, I'm just going to look after these three guests. Al Nasavah Me'al Avdecha, don't turn away from your servant. He's referring to himself as Hashem's servant. Pardon? No, absolutely, not yet. So far, it's
HaKadosh Baruch Hu did call him an Eved
at
some date in the future?
Yes, and we'll come to it now. Yeah. And the Medrash says, if a person refers to himself as an Eved Hashem, then Hashem will also refer to that person as an Eved Hashem. So here we have Avraham referring to himself as an Eved Hashem, al nosava me'al avdecho, don't turn away from your servant. And Hashem responded in kind, where? You'll find it in Bereishis chapter Kavav, Pasuk Kavdalad, where the Pasuk says, Vayera elav Hashem balayla hahu vayome onoche lekei Avraham avicha. It carries on. Al Tira, don't be scared, ki itcha. Only this is Hashem talking to Yitzchak. Don't be scared, ki itcha anochi, I'm with you, uverachticha, I'll bless you, uverbesi, asarachan, I'll increase your descendants. Ba'avur Avraham avdi, for the sake of Avraham, my servant. So because Avraham referred to himself as a servant of Hashem, therefore Hashem replies, and responds later in kind, and says, yes, indeed, Avram is my servant. Avram is referred to as a servant of Hashem. Referred to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a servant of God. Just one small aside, and that is, on that pasuk at the beginning of Vayera, Vayomar Hashem im nomad sosichem yenecho, it is Rashi brings two pshatim on this pasuk. To whom is Avraham talking? So, the first pshat that Rashi gives is that he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomar Hashem. Now that word Hashem is spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which could refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or could refer to it could be an expression, and I'll read it, Adonai, my masters. And he's talking to the three Arabs, and he's saying, don't run away, I want you to come in, you know, come in for tea, I don't want you to run away. So it's not clear, and we said, "Al nosav amen avdecha." Don't go away from your servant. He could be. He's addressing the three malachim, whom he believed to be three wayfarers, and he's talking to them. So indeed, he's not referring to himself as a servant of God. Rashi being supposed to shot him. He either refers to himself as the servant of these wayfarers, or he's referring to the servant of God. But based on this medrash, the medrash takes the line that he's referring to himself as Hashem's servant, and therefore Hashem responded in kind and referred to Avram as Avram Avdi. The next person on the list is Yaakov Avinu, where Yaakov Avinu in Bereishis chapter Lamed Beis, and it's Pasuk Yud Aleph, at the beginning of Pashas Vayishlach, where he says, Kotunti, where Yaakov says, Kotunti mikola chasod mikola emes, I'm too small for all the kindnesses and all the truth, asher asisa, that you Hashem have performed, es avdecha, with your servant, with me, referring to himself as a servant of Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in kind. How? By referring to Yaakov as a servant. Where's that? That's the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it's chapter Mem Dalet, Pasuk Beis, where, and it's a pasuk we all know, where he says, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, don't be scared, my servant Yaakov. Yaakov called himself a servant of Hashem. Hashem says, yes, you are my servant. The next one is Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshanan, when he's standing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be allowed into Eretz Yisrael, it's in chapter, it's Devarim, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Dalet, where Moshe says, Hashem and Akim. You have begun to show your servant as Godcha, your greatness, as Yadcha, your great strength. So he refers to himself as Avdecha, I am your servant Hashem. And where does Hashem respond in kind? That's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayeshlach in Bamidbar chapter Yud Beis, and it's pasuk Zayin, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rebuking Aaron and Miriam for talking badly of Moshe, and Hashem says to Aaron and Miriam, Lo chein avdi Moshe. Moshe is not like a regular Navi. He's an amazing Navi. The Chol Beis Ne'eman, who he says, Lo chein avdi Moshe. My servant Moshe is not the same as any other Navi. So again, he refers to Moshe as my servant. And here now we have in Tehillim as well. We have in our Pasuk, in Tehillim chapter Kuf Tes Zayin, it's a pasuk you'll know, Pasuk Tes Zayin, chapter Kuf Tes Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin, where David says, we know it from Hallel, Ona Hashem ki ani avdecha, please God, I am your servant, ani avdecha ben amasecha, I'm your servant and I'm the son of your maidservant. You've released my bonds. Things that have tied me down, I've now been released from them. He refers to himself as the servant of Hashem. And because of that, I don't know. My problems have been solved. I think that's when
we'll get
to it. Yeah. Hashem, we should all live to get there together. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But he says that I'm your servant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Avdecha, on Hashem Kani Avdecha, I'm your servant, and based on that, our pasuk has Hakadosh Baruch Hu referring to David as Le'eved Hashem. So to them, Hashem adds in this phrase, Le'eved Hashem. Yes, David, you are my servant. So if a person refers to himself as an Eved Hashem, Hashem responds in kind and indeed accepts that and gives him the... Pardon?
It's the wrong order there. This chapter comes first.
Yeah. I think the answer to that is that the sequence of Tehillim is not necessarily written in chronological sequence. Yeah? For example, chapter Gimel is the chapter which David wrote when he was on the run from Avshalom, and we know that happens at the end of David's life. David was 65, if I'm not mistaken, when he had to run away from Avshalom, and David died at the age of 70. So it's quite close to the end of his life, but yet that comes right at the beginning of Tehillim, chapter Gimel. Yeah. So it's not necessarily written in chronological sequence. Or I could simply answer you by referring us to Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis, which certainly comes earlier, where that pasuk begins. Oh, it doesn't got that there. Oh no, it hasn't got the reference to being an Eved Hashem there. So that's, I take that answer, that's wrong. Yeah. But I think the main answer is that the chapters of Tehillim are not in chronological sequence. Sorry.
How many years did David reign as king?
40 years. 40 years. From the age of 30 till the age of 70. He ruled for 7 years in Hebron, was his capital city, and then 33 years in Yerushalayim. That's the Mefush Apostolic.
We come close now to the 7 year reign of Shaul. So we can work it out from that. He didn't become king until Shaul was dead.
He did become king before Shaul died.
No.
He did, but he was on the run.
He was on the run. He wasn't the king in Yerushalayim until Shaul was dead.
I don't know if his transfer from Hebron to Yerushalayim was only upon the death of Shaul. I don't know. Are you sure of that? I don't know. I'm sure it's recorded.
He was dancing before the Torah.
Yeah.
And his wife sees him, and she falls taunting. That was after the death of Shaul. Because Hashem would be done to the Torah.
Yeah.
So you can work it out now.
So based on that, okay. So based on that, you're saying therefore that David was on the run from Shaul for 7 years.
Yes.
Could be. We need to find out.
We need to.
But you were in Hebron
for 3 years.
No, 7 years.
7 years
in Hebron.
Right.
33 years in Yerushalayim. You
will
be saying
Hafsara.
Where's that? Oh, of course. At the end of David's life. Beginning of Melachim. Melachim Beis. Melachim Malach chapter Beis, I think. Or Melachim, I can't remember. Melachim Beis, can't remember. Yeah. Okay.
So, would you want to repeat that? Yes, we were sure that God was a king of Israel. Ruling from Yerushalayim after the death of Shaul. Shaul had ruled for 7 years as a king without the permission of Hashem. So John was on run from Shaul for 7 years.
But your proof was the fact that when David HaMelech was dancing,
yes,
in front of the procession,
yes,
that was accompanying the transfer of power from Hebron to Yerushalayim.
Yes.
Yeah. And the timing of that, what was the timing of that, was your proof?
Mm.
That it comes after the death of Shaul.
Sure. Yeah. I just don't know. One small aside on this is from the pasuk is brought in the Sefer Meir Tehillos, and I don't know anything about that Sefer, but it's quoted in the art scroll that normally a person who's an Eved is of a lowly disposition and he doesn't feel too good about himself, and even if he's an Eved to a great man like a Melech, he still doesn't feel too brilliant because he's still an Eved. If he's a servant of the king, very nice, but his position in life is still lowly and he's still an Eved. The same is not true of David. He calls himself Ani Hashem Kani Avdecho, I'm your servant. Not only that, but Ani Avdecho Ben Amasecho, I'm your maidservant. So you might think I'm really, really lowly. No. Pitachta Lemosei Roy, you've rescued me, you've helped me out. And I'm thrilled and I'm delighted. And here he's got a shiro here. So shiro is an expression of simcha. And he's called himself, I'm an Eved Hashem. And that gives me tremendous simcha. So he points out the contrast between a human Eved, or I should say an Eved to a human being, and an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels like $1 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah? That's what the Sefer Meir Tehillot is. And it's quoted in the article.
If you're an Eved to Hashem, you're meant to feel free.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're meant to feel free. Yeah.
That's it. Now, the Medrash goes on, and this comes on to what you were saying. The Medrash goes on to say that although we've established these four individuals, Avraham, Yaakov, Moshe and David, all call themselves as an Eved to Hashem, and therefore Hashem responded and confirmed it that they were indeed his Avodim, there are occasions that a person could be called an Eved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu even if they themselves did not call themselves an Eved. And the examples are Yitzchak Avinu, when Shemos Chapter Lamed based Pasuk Yud Gimel, the Pasuk says, Zechal Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Avodecho. Remember Avraham Yitzchak, and this is part of Moshe's Tefillah to Hashem after the Egel. Zechal Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Avodecho, Hashem Nishvata Lehem Bach, you sworn to them, etc. So there they are referred to, and it's recorded in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that Yitzchak is called an Eved, even though Yitzchak himself didn't call himself an Eved. You're saying that's Moshe. Yeah, I know. But I think the answer is it was Moshe's Tefillah, but who says it has to be recorded in the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it into, included it into the Torah, so therefore, not every word uttered by Moshe was written into the Torah.
So Yitzchak was an
Eved. It was an Eved of Hashem, for sure, yeah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to write that in the Torah, even though Yitzchak never called himself an Eved of Hashem. Yeah? And the other one is Yehoshua. When in the book of Yeshua, right at the end of Yeshua, chapter Kaftal, Pasuk Kaftes, the Pasuk there says, and it was after these things, after these matters, Vayomos Yeshua bin Nun Eved Hashem. Yeah? Ben Meov Esther Shonim, he was 110 years old. So he's referred to as Eved Hashem, even though Yeshua himself never termed himself as an Eved Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nevertheless saw fit to record for all time that he was an Eved Hashem. Good. And Kaliv is...
Why didn't Hashem record that Yitzhak was an Eved? But only Moshe Rabbeinu said it.
That's a Dene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
Akash Baruch
is saying it because he included it in the Torah.
Happy to include it in his Torah, the words of Moshe, Zachar, Lavadecho.
Like I said, not all the conversations are recorded, and therefore this Dafka had to be recorded in Devorah.
Yeah.
That Yitzhak was an Eved Hashem.
Yes, it's not Devorah, in Kisisa. Yeah. You nearly threw me there. Yeah. Now, the name that's which is noticeable by its absence is one that you said, Norman, Kaliv. Good. Okay. Still with the Medrash Shechetov. Yeah. Still with the Medrash Shechetov. The Medrash Shechetov goes on to say, if someone has a miracle occur to him, and he reacts to that nes by thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a shira, with a song, Murchlin lo al kol avonosav, all his sins are forgiven, for na'asa beriyo chadosha, and he's transformed into a new being. It's like he's renewed. Yeah? And this comes from the Medrash Shechetov, which brought in the name of Rav Simon, and brings a number of examples. First example is Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf, where there's a pasuk at the Yam Suf which says it's a pasuk in Tehillim chapter Kuvav pasuk Zayin, Vayamru al Yom be Yam Suf. They rebelled at the sea at the Yam Suf. Who rebelled? Klal Yisrael rebelled. They rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam Suf. Big Aveiro. What was their rebellion? What was their Aveiro? What did they do wrong? They did not have the required emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save them. Yeah? Hang on one second. Thank you very much. It says, Chapter Yudalad, Pasuk Kaf Dalad, and my servant Kolev Ekev Hoysa Ruach HaCheres Imo, because he has another spirit within him, by Malei Acharoi, etc., etc., etc. I won't say the rest of the Pasuk, because otherwise it'll reveal very clearly that I don't understand it. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking? Are you certain?
No.
Okay, but let's say, even if it isn't, I actually don't think it is. You know why? Oh, well, maybe it is. No, I don't think it is. I think it's Moshe talking. I think it's Moshe davening for forgiveness after the Meister of the Meraglim. But I'm not certain. And we could say what we said earlier, that even if it is Moshe talking, it's still HaKadosh Baruch Hu still fit to include in the Torah of Avdi Chalev. Now the Medrash conspicuously leaves out Chalev, and I don't know why. Shkeach for that. Okay. Now let's come back to this Medrash. Medrash Echtok goes on to say, if a person experiences a nes and thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu by singing, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives him all his aveiros. And the first example cited is from Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf, where we have a pasuk in Tehillim, Tehillim chapter Kuvav, pasuk Zayin, where the pasuk there says, Vayamru al Yom the Yam Suf. Klal Yisrael rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam Suf. What was their rebellion? They did not believe that they would be saved. Amazing. They didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save them at the Yam Suf. Now, at the Yam Suf, the Pasuk continues, back in Parashat B'Shalach, and it's in Shmos chapter Tesov, Pasuk Kaf Beis, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miYam Suf. That Moshe made Bnei Yisrael travel away from the Yam Suf. Says the Medrash, what do you mean Moshe made them travel away? Moshe caused them to depart from their Averis. They'd been rescued at the Yam Suf. They reacted with the Shira, they were forgiven their Aveiro. So prior to Kriyas Yam Suf, they did the terrible Aveiro in not believing that they would be saved. Then they were saved. Then they sang, and then the Pasuk says, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael miYam Suf, Moshe made them move away. What was he making them move away from? He was making them move away from that Aveiro. Having sung, and Moshe of course led them in song, having sung, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them all their Aveiros. Pardon? Medrash Shechetot. Yeah, in the name of Rabbi Simon. Just one smaller side on that. And
it's not that they had enough celebrating, they had a job to do, they had to get some mutton Torah.
No. The Medrash, there is another pshat in the Pasuk, but the Medrash's pshat on that Pasuk is that Moshe made them move away from their Aveiro. Yeah? Why? Having sung, having experienced the nes and sung, you're forgiven all your Aveiros. Rashi, by the way, on that pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Moshe was making them move away from the Yam Suf. He says, come on, let's get cracking, we've got to get going, we run away to Eretz Yisrael. And they were busy at the Yam Suf collecting more and more and more treasures from the army of Egypt. Everything was washed up to shore, and they were busy, there was like no end to it. So in the end, Moshe said, come on, enough already, let's go. Yeah? So that's the pshat by Yassar Moshe. But that's not the pshat that brought by the Medrash. Medrash says he made the move away from Aveiros. Now, based on that...
He was teaching them, was giving them Musa.
No, he had led them in song,
yeah.
And having experienced an ace, and reacted with song, one is forgiven one's Aveiros. And
what
that's
does that mean? What does it mean he moved them away from their Aveiros?
By leading them in song,
yeah.
By leading Klal Yisrael in the Shira, that in effect caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive them their Aveiros. And therefore, Vayasa Moshe had made them move away from their Aveiros. He'd rescued them from their Aveiros. Now, this is Halacha L'maisa. And let me quote you from the Mishnah Berurah, Siman Nun Aleph, and it's Sifkot Miud Zayin. And it talks about the halachas of saying Pesuk Zimra. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'yomar, when it comes to the, in Pesuk Zimra, V'yomar Shiras Hayom, person should say this song, the Shiras Hayom, B'simcha, with joy, V'yidmer B'dat, and he should imagine to himself, Ki'ilu B'os Hayom of our bayom, as though that day he himself has been rescued from the Yamsuf. V'ha'umer b'simcha, and the person recites Oz Yashir in davening, imzikazima, with great joy. Wait for it. Mechlin lo avo nosov, his sins are forgiven. It's a pretty good deal. Yeah. So when you see the Shira, you should experience, you should like imagine you crossed over the Yamsuf, experience it, and give gratitude, and be show gratitude to Hashem, and have joy over it. Mechlin avo nosov. Every day, but you should got to do it with simcha. Two more examples of people who had missed him occurred to them, and they all right. I'll just finish this one point. Okay, I'll finish this one point. Two other examples. One is from the days of Barak and Devorah. Barak and Devorah led Klal Yisrael in battle against Sisera, and that's recorded in the Book of Shoftim, chapter 8. And then, no, I got that wrong. In chapter Dalad. And then chapter Hey is Shiras Devorah, Vatosha Devorah. They experienced a mace in that they were rescued from Sisera. They reacted with Shira, and then they were forgiven their sins. How do you know they were forgiven their sins? The trick is in the very next Pasuk. It's in Shoftim chapter Vav Pasuk Aleph, where that Pasuk says, Vayasu v'nei sol hara be'enei Hashem, Klai Sol did evil in the eyes of God. Now, the point being that the Book of Shoftim, the whole Sefer Shoftim, shows the ups and downs of Klal Yisrael. It's a bit like if you could graph the story of the Book of Shoftim, it looked like a graph Y equals sine of X. Remember the graph Y equals sine of X? It's constantly bouncing up and down, up and down, up and down. Yeah. So the Klal Yisrael, the pattern of Sefer Shoftim is that Klal Yisrael did Averus. So they hit an all-time low. They were attacked by their enemies. A leader emerged, brought them to do teshuvah. They climbed up in Madriga. They were saved from the enemy. And then later on, another slippage. Throughout the whole Book of Shoftim, a recurring theme is, and I quote, Vayosifu v'nei sol la'asasara. Klal Yisrael continued to do bad in the eyes of God. Bein Hashem. Kalifah continues to be bad. So we have this constant up and down. Vayosifu, they did teshuvah, but then later on they went back to their old bad old ways. Vayosifu v'nei sol. Rashi, on that pasuk in Shoftim, chapter 4, pasuk Aleph says, it doesn't say here, after the Shira of Devorah, it does not say Vayosifu v'nei sol la'asasara, that they continue to do bad. Pasuk says, Vaya'asu v'nei sol hara. They did bad. What's the significance? Having sung the Shira, their evil past was wiped out. All their avarice were forgiven. So you can't say Vayosifu, they continue to do bad, because there's no continuation. Their bad past was wiped out. All their avarice were forgiven. Now that they're doing bad, it's like a fresh beginning, a bad beginning, but it's fresh. Yeah? Vayasu. Not Vayosifu, but Vayasu.
Because they sang the Shira.
Precisely, because a mace happened to them, they were rescued from Sisera, and they reacted with a Shira. Yeah? And one other one is our one here, of David. That David, here, the Pasuk says that he sings a Shira, Ashadibel Hashem Estivri Ashira Hazos, he's singing a Shira, and in Shmuel Base, we're going to be constantly going back to Shmuel Base, as chapter Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, it says, Ve'ele Divrei David Ha'acharonim. These are the beginning words, these are the latter words of David. So the Medrash says, what do you mean latter words? What were the first words? And the answer is, it's a reference, the first words are his teshuvah, or his song from the Avira. I must admit, I don't fully understand this proof, but the point being that he was forgiven from all his Aviris. Having sung a Shira to Hashem for being rescued from his enemies, therefore he experienced Mechila from all his Aviris.
Yeah.